So we're going back to the 18th Mishnah. We don't know, and he remembers if we finished it, so we'll review it. He says, don't try to appease your friend when he's angry. You have to let people calm down. And we often give the advice that if you have to go to the bathroom, because if you walk out of the house, that's an insult. If you go to the bathroom, so no, you can't talk in the bathroom, right? So it gives a little bit of a break, and no one can hold that against you. Don't try to comfort a person at the moment that he's in pain. You have the, once we guys asked, what's the correct approach? Sometimes a person wants you to say, oh, I'm so sorry, to feel with them. And sometimes people want you to say, don't take it so hard. There's this, there's that.
Wow,
so
in pain or like if someone is in mourning, you're not supposed to comfort them?
Oh, so the comfort, the Mishnah is teaching us that the first stage of comfort is sharing the pain. When a person has the deceased in front of them, or it doesn't have to literally mean that. It means when a person's so that's what I'm saying. Even Shiva can be broken down. There are moments of extreme pain, and at those times, what a person wants is to someone else to feel with them. Not to say, I know how you feel, but I feel with you. It's two different things. You're not diminishing their feelings, you're trying to share with their feelings. So that's what the Mishnah says. Al tenachamenu, don't try to comfort him when the deceased is there. And the same thing is true in many respects in life. We have to know how to gauge a situation, which is hard. It's one of the hardest things, and it's part of what we learn within marriage. Meaning, it's something which I don't know that we could teach in a class, A, because people are different, and B, because there are so many nuances, it's hard to teach. But you should know that you get better within time. When I got married, so one of my rabbeim said to me, marriage is like walking in a minefield. You walk, and you get an explosion. He said, wait a second, what happened there? Okay, so you realize, okay, there I can't step. Okay, so you learned lesson number one. You take another two steps, another minefield. You start telling yourself, wait a second, all of life is a minefield? The answer is no. The answer is it takes time to learn where you shouldn't step. And after you learn, so then you can just dance around. You know what ticks her off. She knows what ticks you off. But why do we say it's like a minefield? Because the reactions we get are very different than the reactions we give. Men's reaction when they get upset is different than women's reaction when they get upset. So to us, it's like a bomb, the explosion. So I don't know if we should expand on this. We'll say it in a nutshell. We have to realize that to them it's also like a bomb. Because you guys remember my mashal. I always say, when you're talking to a girl, okay, I'll tell you the backdrop to the line. We used to have a principal in high school who had a hearing aid. So the guys decided they would tease him. So they'd stand next to him and start doing this. And they'd move their lips to one another. He and the principal would be, I can't hear you, just a second. And he'd turn off his hearing aid. And then they'd yell. So it wasn't nice. I never did it. But from that I learned the mashal. It wasn't nice, you know. Yeah, I feel bad. I shouldn't be laughing at it. The poor guy, you know, he was an old man and they took advantage of him. It was very sad. It's not nice. So, I learned from it a mashal. And that is, I always say, in marriage, you have to imagine you're talking to someone who has their hearing aid up 15 times. And when a husband makes a slight comment, the wife hears it like the hearing aid is all the way up. And the husband's going to say, what did I say? You know, all I said was maybe next time you should slice the salad a little smaller. And she goes off on a tangent. What do you mean? You don't like my cooking and you don't like my food and everything I do isn't good enough. I didn't say that. You guys remember the mashal I always say? A wife asks her husband, is the dress too tight? And he says, maybe a little bit. And she goes wailing, you brute, you bum. How could you talk to me that way? In front of everyone here, you say, I'm the fattest woman on the planet. What's wrong with you? Have you no shame? What did he say? Yeah, maybe a little bit. What did she hear? She turned up the hearing aid 15 times. So that's why their reactions to us are extreme. To us, we sense it's like a bomb. But we have to realize that what we say is also like a bomb to them. Half the time you hear an argument, the wife will say, why are you yelling at me? And the husband's going to say, I'm not the one yelling, you're the one yelling. Ah, but that's not true. You're forgetting. Her hearing aid is up 15 times. She hears you yelling. To her, the slightest comment of something that's not right, and they're very sensitive to it. And the root of it all, once we've gone on this tangent, the root of it all is written, there was a pamphlet written by Rosh Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. He wrote a pamphlet for Chassanim. And in that pamphlet, he really summarizes one idea. There are a lot of good points, but there's one idea which he says. He says, you have to realize that in marriage, the key point is ve'elishech teshukatech. What she wants is to feel that you love her, that you're happy with her the way she is. And the second you give her an indication that something isn't right, it's personal. And you could say from today until tomorrow, it's not personal. All I asked was, did you get to pay the electric bill? No, you didn't ask, did I get to pay the electric bill? You came and said, I don't do enough. And you said, I'm lazy. And you said, but I didn't say that. Yeah, but that's what you meant. No, I didn't mean that. What's the answer? But that's what I heard. The hearing aid is all the way up. And it takes time for men to learn that sensitivity. For all of us. And to us it's unnatural because we're very simple, us men. It also stems from another point. We mentioned... No. I don't remember the name of the Rashiva, otherwise I'd quote it in his name. I don't remember.
I understand that because I remember that was the last Rashiva I was at. One of the, you should get a key like the one we all have. And what I heard was my Ashkab is not good enough. I have to be just like you.
Okay. But so we said point number one is that Hashem built into them that their nature is to always want to feel like their husband likes them the way they are and loves them and adores them the way they are. And when a woman asks you if she needs to lose weight, she doesn't want to hear yes. She wants to hear, you're beautiful. And together with that, if you think that she needs to lose weight, you better figure out a very smart and gentle and encase it with a million things and then still think whether you have to say it or not. The second reason is because their mode of communication is totally different than ours. Meaning, if she asked you, did you pay the electric bill, it could very well be that what she's thinking is, he doesn't take care of anything. Because between two women, a lot of the conversation is hints and allusions, and you're supposed to understand one thing from the other, and that's why they spend half the time trying to think, did she mean this, or did she mean that? Us men, we say what we mean. By women, no. That the Gemara calls it, ish tova bepe, isha tovat balev. A man, the Gemara is talking about intimacy, the man asks for things directly and the woman asks for them in her heart. And she wants the husband to know how to read her heart. That's the way the Gemara words it. So the Gemara is talking about intimacy. But the truth is, it's not only about intimacy, it's about everything. So coming back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us that a person has to know that there are times, and you can't expect everything to work when there's an explosion or when a person feels a certain way. Valtishalo b'shat nidron, at the moment that a person is swearing, don't try to convince him otherwise. Valtishtadeli roto b'shat kalkalato. And the final line is a completely different message, which is also very important. The Mishnah says, don't try to see your friend when he sins. I was once walking by a room where some of my students were doing something improper. So I ran away. Why did I run away? Because the last thing in the world that I need to do is to know who is doing it and for them to know I know. There are many reasons for this. The basic reason is we don't need to shame other people. And why do we want to shame other people? It's because we have an unhealthy ego. I want to feel good, so I'll catch you when you're not good. There's another reason. And this goes to a whole new topic. When you want someone to do something, the best way to get them to do it is to make them realize that you believe that they could and would do it. One of the worst things you could do is indicate to someone that you don't believe they could do it. Sometimes you have a couple, we'll take a simple example, the husband feels like the wife isn't God-fearing enough. So he's going to come with a whole list of complaints. When it's Erev Shabbos, you don't have the table set the way it should be. You don't have the candles prepared the way they should be. And he's going to have a whole list of complaints. When he finishes his complaints, what has he done? He's painted a picture, you're not where you should be. Where does he want to go? He wants her to be where she should be. But that's not where he's leading her. The way to get a person to be where they should be is by helping them believe that they're on the way. by seeing the positive in it. We'll conclude, and really we have to come back to this point, and from here discuss the whole idea of how to rebuke. One person said we have extra time tonight. I don't know who agrees to that, so I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. We're going to end in 1 minute. We'll end with this story. Rav Tzvi Schwartz, the Rosh Hashiva of Eish HaTorah, was once walking through the hallways of a high school in which he's, I don't know what his role there exactly, he's one of the heads of the high school. And there was a girl, for argument's sake, we'll call her Bluma, standing out in the hall. Now Bluma had her hair in spikes, and Bluma was wearing a very rebellious clothing, and she was just kicked out of the classroom. And when he walked up to her and asked why she was out of the classroom, she said, because that teacher's boring. That teacher keeps repeating the same information. That teacher isn't teaching a word. So he looked at her and he said, Bluma, I want you to know, there's a whole bunch of kids in there and there's one tzaddik standing out here. There's a whole bunch of people who I don't know what they're going to amount to in there, but there's one person out here who I know will be more successful than the bunch out there. Hashem doesn't like people who just sit there and someone just talks and they just swallow everything they say. You have an opinion, you believe in something, and you act on it. And I want you to know that shows such strength of character that you are the one I believe in. I believe that you will still be the great person in Am Yisrael and in your classroom. And I could only tell you, I was sitting in the car, I heard the story from him as he was driving to her wedding. I got a ride with him, I wasn't going to the wedding, I was just en route, he was dropping me off. I don't know who Bluma is, I made up the name, I have no idea who the girl is. He never told me, I don't know. But he was going to her wedding, she was marrying an Avreich. She wasn't with spikes, she was going to live a Torah lifestyle.
Oh,
she was marrying,
what's that?
A guy learning in Kolel. That's where she was headed. And that conversation, she later said, that conversation is what changed her life. And we all need that. In order for us to succeed, we need someone to believe in us. So to catch someone, al tishtadeli roto b'shat kal todo. Don't try to see him when he's messing up. And very often we do want to see someone else, and even our spouse when they're messing up, because then I feel good. Look, I'm better than them. So the Mishnah says, no, don't. We'll pick up here, b'zachim next.